Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. We are excited to continue through our lessons of 2017, and joining us today on the podcast is the head coach of Cleveland St. Ignatius High School, Chuck Kyle. I've known Chuck for a long time and followed his career. I think at one point I was recruited and ended up playing against him, but Coach Kyle has done an outstanding job with what he's done at Cleveland St. Ignatius and really has a great outlook on the game and how to mold young men. And Coach, I appreciate you joining us on the podcast again.
Oh, sure, Keith. It's fun. It's that time of year to start talking about football, what we've learned, and what we need to work on.
Well, definitely, Coach. And I think you have a pretty good way of making an analogy here to football being like a book, and you were talking to me about that. I'd like you to share that with our listeners.
Oh, sure. I'm an English teacher, so that's why there's maybe the analogy kicks into gear here. I've always pictured a football season really like you're writing a book. Each chapter, it's another game. There's interesting characters that kind of weave their way in and out. And really, the plot, you think, come on, how many, I've done this as a head coach for 35 years. You think, come on, it has to be the same. In all honesty, no, you think you've seen it all in the game of football. You think, come on, you've done all these games, you've done all these situations. You think you've seen it all. And every year, football proves that, no, you haven't seen it all. There's always some different scenario or different approach that you have to take. It's that type of experience. And I think if anything, I could share that with younger coaches is you learn from each season and each game. And it's good to sit back at this time of year, here it is December, and go, okay, what things went well, what things didn't go well. And as much as you do that, do not be shocked that you're certainly going to face some situations that you haven't faced before.
Well, that's the beauty of this game, Coach, is you're going to have some seasons where similar things happen, but I think you would agree that, you know, over the course of your career, every season is just a different character in itself, relating it back to that book, that you haven't really seen it before. It transforms the people who are involved in it. And obviously, as coaches, there's a lot for us to learn. So to think that you're going to go and do, whether you've had a lot of success or whether you think you're on the right track, you know, if you're going to go and do the same things you did this past season in the exact same way, the results might be completely different. So you're always having to look like what, maybe there's not a big thing you have to change, but maybe it's a little thing that comes up that you can improve. And I think that's what has to drive the off season and drive your research as you look for ideas to implement into your program.
Right, that's the value of little podcasts like this, the value of conferences and clinics you go to. The value of going to actually and spending a day or two at a college football practice. There's answers out there. There's always going to be answers. Just finding the proper vehicle to get to the answer is what a coach really has to think through. I always, when you think that when you analyze your past season, you really should start with the things when things went well. Too many coaches start right away with, well, what went wrong? No, make sure you go, what went well? Mm-hmm. Because that shapes a lot of your philosophy. And it shapes the idea of having faith that you can find the answer. And as soon as you start listing the things that you did well, I think what pops out as you look at it is, hey, what, something's missing here. Something's missing. Look what we listed, and there's something missing, and that starts probing into them. That when you talk about things to adjust, that helps probe that. I think too many coaches go to clinics and hear some talk and go, wow, that sounds great. That sounds great. Okay, but does it fit into your scenario, or is it something that you don't really need? So what I'm kind of trying to get across is make sure that it's a positive assessment, first of all, what things did go well. And by doing that, it gives you energy to keep going and just make those other small adjustments as you head into that off season. And then asking a very important question at the end then is, okay, we've got some ideas here. We've talked them out. Everybody understands them on the coaching staff, not just one coach. we've been able to get everybody on the same page. And the last thing is, how do we get this implemented? How do we put this in so the kids understand it? Because, look, you haven't coached it. If the kids are making mistakes, you haven't coached it right. I'm kind of setting up maybe our conversation that's going to take place here, but I think there's a pathway to do it right.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%, Coach. I think with whatever you do, you know, I'm very fortunate to be able to talk to some great coaches across the country on this podcast. And I think what I've found in the consistency with these guys is they kind of have a process and a system for everything they do. It's not kind of done haphazardly. There's a reason for all of it. And it leads them to the right answers. Those are the guys who, whatever adversity they might face, seem to be able to find their way through it because they've developed a system. And within that system, they know where to go to next to find those answers. Or, like you said, even starting with the positives like this, they're able to identify, hey, what's missing here?
Right. The game of football, I think everybody has to agree about with this, is a very complex game. And it's a very human game. As much as we try to have the answer, there's sometimes where somebody's going to trip and fall, the ball's going to be dropped, there's a penalty. It's a very human game. Mm-hmm. And that's the frustration there. Okay, you can't get frustrated with the humanity of this game. It's just what techniques do I need to get better at? And scheme-wise, certain things on another team's offense caused a problem. Well, it's a scheme situation. Let's take a look, because I'm sure there's people we can discuss this with. And our job is to put the kids in a position and make it clear if they do a certain technique that they should be able to make the play. And coach, then you can sleep well at night because you gave that kid the opportunity to make the play. But what's important is always remember, it's the kids who are playing the game. It's not, coach, it's not your great ideas. It's the kids playing the game. Mm-hmm. Our job is to help them and put them in the position where their talents can do it. And you do all you can to get that kid to where he can reach his potential. If you're able to do that, then you've done a good job coaching. But what limits potential sometimes is not the proper alignment or not the proper scheme. And now, come on, that's our job. Come on, coaches, we got to do that job.
Well, Coach, you've set the table pretty well here for a discussion on maybe some specifics as we look back at the 2017 season. So knowing that there is a process for you, what things have you looked at so far in your analysis and looking back on it said, here's something we can learn from, or here's something maybe we're looking to do better from 2017?
Right. Well, first of all, when we've already had one staff meeting and just kind of gave that overall view and an overall conversation a little bit. First of all, I think what we came out of it is looking at, we had a number of seniors that really improved between their junior and senior year. And what did we learn by that? You have to have faith that kids will do that. To stay in this game, you have to have faith that kid that was a sophomore or a junior, 9 months from now, 10 months from now, that kid is going to get better. And you have to have that faith or it's a disaster. But what we looked at is, what things did we do that helped some of these kids that we weren't sure of? Lo and behold, when we got to the season and we started getting into it, they came to the forefront and they played certainly to their capacity and made some plays that a year ago we would have said, no way. And what we realized was certainly the off season and the training that we did certainly did help. And so we're happy with that. We certainly want to expand on that. So with the guy who's in charge of our strength program, we're having a meet with the Cleveland Browns strength coaches and the Ohio State strength coaches with certain things that he feels that we did well and seeing what other things can be tinkered there. I found over the years, strength coaches, they are a special breed and they're a brotherhood. So they're always willing to work together. And so that was one thing we really said. We did some good things in getting these kids prepared. And so we want to really keep working with that. But then with that in mind, I think the one thing that came up is asking an important question. Looking at our personnel, did we this year put kids you know, the second and third team guys, and we have numbers, okay?
Right.
And I'm looking at second and third team guy. Did we do a good job in placing that kid in the position he worked at? Now, here's the issue that comes up. A lot of that has to do with the kid who goes, I want to be a wide receiver. I want to be a wide receiver. Okay, and you start looking, and you're going, well, he's probably the fifth guy. He's not the top three. Did we do that kid justice in just going, well, okay, stay at that position? Or could we have done a better job in going, you can still work that position, but let's say this. Let's see what other position can help you get on the field quicker.
Right.
And I think we need to do better at that. I really do. I know kids have this, they dream of a certain position, but there's times when we have to kind of interrupt a little bit and go, here's where you're at. This other position may fit where your talents are now. We need to do a better job. I know that. I think everybody does. You know, it's a shame if you're sitting there going, well, here's a backup sitting here that really, when you're looking at it, really could have been on the field at a different position. And we have to do a better job of that.
And that's, I think, the challenge of coaching. I think it's probably, looking back on my career too, coach, as a high school coach, even as a college coordinator, thinking about those kinds of players down the line, and you just almost assume like, okay, well, he wants to do this, he's going to develop, instead of, even though he's not in the forefront of your thoughts right now, guys get on the field, where's he going to be next year for us? How does he develop moving forward? So it certainly is the challenge. And obviously, when you look at types of things like that, it affects the player-coach relationship, certainly, and those things obviously build into the culture. So if you want to have a positive culture, you have to be thinking about those guys down the line as well, and where do they fit? How can you make sure you maximize their learning, the repetitions they have during the season, and their development, so that they're ready when the opportunity comes? I think a lot of coaches can look at that and say, yeah, I really need to learn from that idea as well.
Yeah, it's easy to get in a pattern to go, okay, first group out there. They do their thing for a few minutes and then they get a break. All right, second group. And not even, it's too easy to say that. Mm-hmm. It's this, I don't want to say mass substitution, but a group situation. And great, it's wonderful for organization. Don't get me wrong. But notice what we're doing. We're putting individuals and lumping them into a, can I say, sort of a stereotype. All right, group two out there, but that one individual in group two at a different position could be challenging to be in group one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's too easy for us to get locked into, all right, A group, now B group. And yeah, we're getting a lot of reps. And all right, but realize there's individuals in those groups. And certain individuals could be playing something else that could really be important. So anyway, I don't mean to be redundant there, but I know we've tried to work on that, but I know we got to do a better job in that.
Like you started with, this is about people. It's about the people we have on the field. Yeah, as coaches, we're going to have to make sure we get the scheme and the technique and all those things taught the right way, but there's people inside those helmet and shoulder pads that we got to take care of as well.
Right, right. And a year or two later, you look and you go, you know, that kid would have been a very good fill in the blank, whatever, linebacker, or it would have been a very good tight end, but we sort of bookmarked him in and just let it sit there, you know, mm-hmm. instead of constantly questioning it. So personnel is so important.
Absolutely. It's a great place to start. Well, coach, moving on, what other types of things have you been looking at
right here? As things go, you know, you sit there and you have your offense. And one of the things I've enjoyed doing is just sitting down and working all sorts of different formations and just looking at that, not changing your offense now, but looking at different formations and seeing what different formations can add to what you normally do. And we've come up with a couple of very good little wrinkles that we can call anything in our running game, and it works. But it created what we found a little bit of a problem with the opponent's secondary. How are they going to handle it? It was good for us, but then as I look at it in the off season, I have to ask the question, all right, are we showing too much of a tendency from that formation? What can we do because it ended up being a good running formation. But I'm asking the question, okay, now what positive passing situations can we come from there? First of all, to keep the defense honest. But second of all, take advantage of what they're doing. The old adage of keeping them honest. We hear that all the time in football. We're going to keep you honest by doing this. I want to take that a step further, not just say keep you honest. I want to say if you're doing that, we can hurt you with a big pass play because you had to make this adjustment. To me, that's a different mentality. I don't want to just sit there and say, we're keeping them honest. I want to sit there. If they have to make some adjustment, we can hurt them badly. So I'm working on that. I think you create something and it's working. Let's be honest. Your opponents aren't dumb, you know? Come on. They have film. We exchange them. They're not dumb. They're going to sit there and go, well, that's something they're using quite a bit. So now for the next 12 months, they're looking at ways to solve the issues, right? But what we have to be prepared for is, okay, and I guess clichely people would say plan B from that. But I would say whatever adjustment that they're making, let's be prepared to take advantage of the adjustment and not sit there and say, oh, they made an adjustment, let's forget it and go to something else. So is there a little bit of anticipation? Sure, and I think a coach has to do that. But to me, it's a little bit of a mentality of still attacking. You know, What can we do to attack from what we've done so far? I hope I'm making myself clear. Too many people use things, well, we got to keep them honest. So we're doing the same, but let's keep them honest with another play. Football's got to be way more than just keeping the team honest. It's got to be, okay, let's take advantage of what their adjustment is and go. So that's something we're talking right now. Right now, is honestly, in the last few days, we've been talking quite a bit about that.
Yeah, I think as you look at that idea and adjustments that teams try to make, from an offensive standpoint, I'm speaking, you always want to keep things in your hand as far as we're going to control what we do. And as you were talking, Coach, it reminded me of a situation while I was at BW where we had a team we were playing bring everybody up. I mean, they were tight on our corners. Their safeties were at about 8 yards. And we had seen that on film. And, I mean, the first thing people like to do is, well, you know, look at there's, you know, numbers in the box. You got to throw the ball. Obviously, they're thinking the same thing, too. They want to force you into some low percentage throws out on the edges with guys who are covered pretty tightly. And we were able to take a look at some things we had within our plays. We didn't change anything, but we added some motion. We are creative with the gaps we added to it. And it forced their safeties, who were playing at 8 now, instead of being able to play in a downhill demeanor because we were using an orbit type of motion and our quarterback was always booting out the other way, that we were really stretching those safeties to the point that they couldn't move downhill like they wanted to and get involved in the box. And I remember our head coach saying, you know, at one point, you know, why do you keep running the ball? They got 11 men up. I said, Coach, we've turned them into a 3-2 box. We're running in against a 3-2 box because the safeties can't support as they would downhill if we were just running our traditional play. So it was the addition of that motion to maybe some formations they hadn't seen, and it put us in an advantage. And that's where I think you got to find the answers. Like you said, it's a lot about some of those formations, especially as defenses get modernized and adapted to stop certain things like the spread. Some other things like that was really more of a wing T mentality, which goes way back to my first years in high school with some power football. And maybe to that point, we had showed a little bit more spread mentality. So the plays remain the same, but what we were presenting on the surface added multiple problems for a defense.
You worded it beautifully, because that's kind of where we're at a little bit in some of the things we're doing. Because, you know, as soon as you start tinkering too much and you start adding plays on, where you're sacrificing execution, it's nice to say, here's the offense, and we're not really changing any really. I think if we called the play right now, kids would run it right now, but it's a different formation. And so you'll see the execution, kids have run it hundreds of times, but just by the way we created the formation, and you're right, you're pinpointing it really even more accurately. You've forced the safeties to do some things that they don't want to do.
Right.
And the idea of a free safety being just the guy way back and preventing a long run or a long pass. Now, safeties are coming up. They're like linebackers now. Those guys are physical people. And they're looking for where they can confidently attack. And can a formation put that kid out of his usual progression? And if we do that, that's one less guy after the snap in the box. And like you're saying, hey, you're still running the football because, no, they after the snap, they can't get that eighth guy or seventh, eighth guy up there. You know, they got to honor it. And that's what we need to do. We're working on that. And it's something that we're happy to work on it because we've had some success with the formations. Now we want to take it to another level. And something also, let's face it, all coaches like to be so calm and confident during a ball game that you can look out there and go, I know exactly what we need to go to. Here we go. I mean, that's the type of stuff all coaches like to feel like they can have. And that's what the offseason should do. But that way too many times, you know, oh, here's a neat play. I've seen it done. I've gone to a clinic. I've seen this. And okay, great. It is a nice play. But is that the only thing you're going to do and the only formation you're going to do it with? I don't know. You got to give your opponent a little more credit than that.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's a fun part of the season for coaches because things do slow down and you can obviously play around with those ideas a little bit more. And it's fun when you start bringing in that other piece that you talked about and start looking at, well, who, you know, if we're going to use this motion or if we're going to use this particular concept that we do or this formation, who would be good at doing this for us? And you start to envision maybe where some of those guys fit. And I think it helps a little bit in solving that issue you talked about to begin with is how do you place these personnel where, you know, these guys, where they're going to be best on the field and where they're going to contribute in a way that's going to help the team earlier than later.
You're right. You know, what you just said there, I can tell you that happened for us with this scenario we just talked about. A certain young man who was involved somewhat, a little bit actually more on defense, but was getting some rotation on offense. Because we were working with these other formations, he started playing more offense too because he fit into exactly what we were asking that person to do with this formation. So I can 100% bow on what you just said because it does create opportunities maybe for certain guys that they have some talent in certain areas. And you start doing some things and wait a minute, that kid right there would work very nicely if we put him right here. Mm-hmm. So that happened to us, what you just mentioned. So I think there's a real progression here on what the offense can do, but not just, hey, I found some super play. It's more than that. It's, you know, use formations. What can the formation contribute to what your normal offense gives?
Absolutely. Coach, as we wind down here, we're really excited that you're going to be at our national conference again this year. And I know you were there last year. Before we get into some of the things you're going to be talking about, for our guys out there who haven't attended this event, tell us what you think of it in something that's definitely a little bit different than your typical coaches clinic.
Right. I've been connected with USA Football for quite a while, actually. And when this conference first began, it was really very, very focused on improving the younger kid, the youth game and the youth coaching. It was, and I'm going back a number of years now, but so many fine guys were volunteering. They were all volunteers to come out and help the youth football. And really, why? Well, 15, 20 years ago, they played high school football. And they hadn't really studied the game that much since then. And their heart was great, but you know what? Their technique maybe needed some polishing. And their mental approach needed positive. So I was involved with USA Football in that early stage. And here's the thing I've seen in the last 3 or 4 years. It's evolved. This conference has evolved very nicely. It's still there for the youth. It's still there to help, but it is really welcomed and really made great progress with the high school coaches. And I think that's where I've seen a really wonderful addition. It's great material for the high school coaches. That, sure, they have their youth groups, right? And they want to help their youth groups. So it's nice for them to see that. But also there's talks and presentations that can help their team, the high school team, too. So that makes it a very unique conference because, hey, here's this high school football coach, but he can see down the road, there's those kids playing starting tackle football, you know, and he's watching them progress, because it's not going to take too long for those young kids to be on his varsity football team. And he can see how the good things that are being talked about at this conference, and also see how it blends into his program. So this makes it very unique to me. I think it's a conference where you see the evolving, the pathway of football from youth right up to high school. And then, you know, as we send them on to college, they're even better prepared. So I don't think there's any other conference that can talk the way this is and present the way it is.
Absolutely, Coach. And we have just a great lineup of high school speakers focused on topics for the high school coach. And that group has accumulated 95. They're all done playing now. 95 state championships over the course of their careers. And I know you've contributed 11 to that total. We're excited that you're going to be speaking there as well. Tell us a little bit about the topics that you're going to be covering.
In a high school session, I'm going to be on the defensive side of the ball a little bit. We've been running for a number of years out of a three-stack defense, and that evolved basically because of the spread. Let's face it. The spread came into existence, and come on, it's like a chess match, right? The defenses had to come up with something. And so we've been using the stack because of the adjustments you can make out of it, the blitzes you can make out of it. And what we have found, you don't have to show your hand too early. Because here's the spread people, right? They line up right away, and they're looking at what you're doing. And, you know, they're bluffing their signals, and they're looking over at the bench. And what we have found from our stack is you can stare at us all you want. We're not showing you much because we're stacked. We've got, you know, five guys back there. But as you start getting in late in your count, and then after the snap of the ball, all sorts of things can happen from the stack. And that we've enjoyed that immensely. But what I'm adding a little bit more to it, besides blitzes and some of the coverages, also an adjustment that we've liked to use lately. And your typical stack, your ends are going to be in like a five technique, right on that outside eye, outside shoulder of the tackle. We've blended in, actually going to a four eye technique, which is now you just, instead of the outside shoulder, you move to the inside shoulder of the tackle and take the outside backers that were generally stacked right behind the end and actually move them out a few yards. And there's some benefits to that in the blitz package, certainly. But besides that, also going against zone teams, it helps seal some of the gaps and get the reads a little bit easier for the outside zone and things like that. So anyway, we've had some fun with it and just want to go and share the idea with it, because I think not only is it a four eye technique, is it just for the stat? No, for a defense, sure. But also for the even defense, you can use it too. I'm going to spend some time talking about the positive effects of using the blending that four eye in there and what reads you should do and everything like that.
Yeah, that topic is a very good one, Coach. I was excited when you brought it up. I could say from an offensive coordinator perspective, I hated seeing the teams that played those four eyes, and your alma mater at John Carroll was one of them, and they were just outstanding with those four eyes. It certainly causes some issues for an offense and for some schemes and how you're going to have to adjust to it. It's something that's a little bit out of the ordinary that does cause actually some issues for an offense. You're going to be talking about a youth topic as well, Coach.
Right. Looking at the youth game for how many years, because there are these kids learning. That's where they first learn and develop and enter high school. I've often heard from, you know, the grade school coaches that going to some of the high school games and listening to the college guys talk, they go, you know, it's interesting, but it's hard for us to sit there and say our kids are physically ready to do those techniques. We're dealing with just kids. And, you know, you hear the college guy talk or the high school guy talk about how they're reacting to the blocking scheme or doing some things. And the youth coach, how often you hear him say, yeah, but our kids physically aren't ready to do that. What can our kids do as far as techniques and maybe how we can help them defensively with their scheme? So I've heard that question a lot. And so I figured, well, that's maybe a good topic to just spend a good session with, talking about youth defense and saying, here is the age group you're working with. What things can be done at that level to where you're teaching the kid to be a good football player. I know it's easy for all of us to sit there. I'm going to put him in a certain stance. Why? Because that's what I was taught years ago. And that's what I've heard the college guy talk and the high school guy. Well, these are younger kids. They may not have the core strength to put them in exactly what the high school guys have or the college guys. So what other things can be done? That's just a sample of the idea. There's the whole flow of this thing would be, let's talk about legitimately what technique and what alignments will work for kids that age. So I think it's a good session. I think it's a session where the game has to be adjusted to the age bracket. I think that's why USA Football and a lot of us are looking at the rookie and working with the rookie tackle mm-hmm. pathway. Is, come on, this game that we play, it was designed for men, grown men. And here's these young kids learning it at such an early age. Are they ready to do the same game and same technique as we're asking the older guys to do? And so it brings that topic there. I'm also going to be working with a couple other guys, Andy and a couple other guys, on just ideas about the rookie tackle.
Right.
And what techniques would fit there in offensive game and things like that. So I'm also able to do that because I've worked pretty strongly with Northeastern Ohio with our piloting of the rookie and just some things we talked about, things we worked with. I think we can help some youth areas that are interested in the rookie tackle, and I encourage that. I think it's a great thing. We've had great responses from the coaches and parents, how they really like the game and how they felt the kids learned a lot. But I want to share some of the technique things that we found while working with the rookie tackle.
Well, Coach, we certainly appreciate all you do with USA Football and for the game in general. You certainly are a big advocate for football and what it can do for kids. And again, we're really looking forward to having you at the National Conference again. And thanks for being on the podcast.
Oh, it's my pleasure. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.